Have you ever tried to write something with your non-dominant hand? It's such a strange feeling. You know how to write and you know what you want to say, but neither of those things works as well as it should when you're writing with the wrong hand. Because so much energy is going into trying to make your hand do what you want it to do. Today, we're talking about dysgraphia, which can feel a little bit like writing with the wrong hand. We'll talk about what it is and how you can help your child who has difficulty getting words from brain to paper. This is LD Expert Live. Welcome to the LD Expert Podcast, your place for answers and solutions for dyslexia, learning, and attention challenges. I'm your host, Jill Stowell, founder of Stowell Learning Centers, and author of a brand new book, Take the Stone Out of the Shoe, a must-have guide to understanding, supporting, and correcting dyslexia, learning, and attention challenges. This book will help you understand why some bright children and teens have more difficulty than expected in school. It provides simple, practical tools for supporting struggling students at home and in the classroom. Most importantly, it presents real solutions and the science behind them. Today, we're talking about dysgraphia. Students with dysgraphia may have difficulty with the physical writing process as well as getting their ideas from head to paper. I remember my very first dysgraphic student. He was one of those kids who, on the surface, seemed like he had it all. He was bright, popular, good at sports, good at conversation. But he was failing many of his classes because he refused to do his homework. At first, his parents thought that it was just sort of a teenage rebellion thing. His teachers thought it was a motivation problem. And this was very early on for me in my practice, and I thought the problem with getting homework done was a time management and organization issue. Well, after working with him for a very brief period of time, though, I realized that there was some kind of roadblock between his brain and his hand. Jordan could not get his thoughts down on paper. It wasn't that he couldn't physically write, but the process of getting words from the pencil to the paper was slow and laborious. His mind went so much faster than he could write and spell that his thoughts were jumbled and incoherent on the page. Writing requires a complex combination of visual, motor, language, and cognitive processing skills. So just as with dyslexia, dysgraphia is a fairly broad term with many subtypes. And of course, each dysgraphic learner is unique. Here are some common characteristics that we see with dysgraphia. Too tight or too light pencil grip and pressure, awkward or unusual wrist, body, or paper position when writing, poor spacing of margins, words, and letters on the page, frequent erasing, poor spelling, including unfinished words or missing words or letters, write slower than typical same-age peers, mixed upper and lowercase letters when writing words and sentences, irregular and inconsistent letter formation, size, spacing, and placement, letter and number reversals, avoid writing tasks, and difficulty with written organization and expression, even though they may have good ideas when speaking. Students with dysgraphia can be confusing to parents and teachers because they seem like they can write neatly if they want to. You may have seen this with your child. Most of the time, their writing is messy and illegible, but if they really try, if they slow down, they can write beautifully. So let's do a little experiment. With your dominant hand, I want you to write your first and last name as fast as you can, and I'll give you a couple of seconds to do that. Now, I want you to do the same thing with your non-dominant hand. Write as fast as you can. Okay, now write your name with your non-dominant hand as neatly as you can. What did it take to write neatly? I'll bet it took a lot of concentration and time. In fact, you might still be writing. So could you do that if all day long during a school day? I mean, you could do it if you wanted to, but could you do it all day and all the way through your homework, writing that slowly? Well, neither can our dysgraphic students. Handwriting requires kinesthetic feedback in order to guide the hand and the body to make the adjustments needed to apply the appropriate pencil pressure and to write with accuracy and ease. Students with dysgraphia may not be getting enough kinesthetic feedback or feedback from their body. At the Learning Center, programming for our dysgraphic students often starts with core learning skills training or the core learning skills level of the learning skills continuum. You'll see that core learning skills are at the bottom of the continuum. All learning sits on this foundation of visual and motor skills and of movement. When skills are lagging here, it doesn't matter how young or old you are, it will make things more difficult. Students doing core learning skills training are guided through increasingly complex visual, motor, and balance activities to increase the brain-body connections and build their awareness and control of speed, force, and movement. Now, adding a timing component to virtually any activity is very regulating. It is particularly important with graphomotor skills. There is a rhythm to writing, and if we're going to move our kids from drawing letters to writing them automatically, they need that flow. I remember a boy who was about 11 or 12 whose writing was completely illegible. It was painful to watch him try to write. I had just learned the technique that I just showed you, and I'll give a shout out here to the Herman method, which was my first exposure to this writing strategy. So Sean was probably actually one of the first students I used it with as well. We had to work at the metronome a little bit, but man, as soon as he locked into the rhythm of it, his writing instantly changed. It was remarkable. I had never seen anything like it. Now, in this digital age, you might be thinking, okay, but teaching handwriting is kind of a waste of time now. But handwriting has a physiological and psychological link in the brain that impacts integration, attention, fluency, and learning. It also has an impact on emotional regulation. Our brain likes repetitive movement and rhythm. The repetitive multisensory stimulation of handwriting skills training impacts the emotional brain to reduce anxiety, increase motivation, and gain impulse control. We've been talking about challenges around the physical writing process. And as many of you said, for some students, the bigger challenge is with the actual organization and expression of their ideas in writing. These students may have trouble getting their ideas down quickly, or they lose their train of thought, or they just freeze up when they have to write. They may have trouble telling a story in writing, and so they end up kind of starting in the middle. Sometimes they leave out important facts or details or never get to the point, or they may put in too much information and make the same point over and over. Orthographic processing, or the ability to use the visual system to form, store, and recall words, is often impacted with both dyslexia and dysgraphia. So what happens is these students tend to write with words that they can spell. So their written language is far below the level of their oral language. So I'm going to go through a strategy with you. This is a very effective strategy for helping students get their thoughts onto paper and get started and make their writing more interesting. It's what we call 5-minute power writing. So here's the premise behind this. It is easier to write from a question than from a topic or a title. So what you want to do is when the teacher gives the student a topic to write from, you want them to turn it into a question. Then they're going to visualize the answer to that question. From their images, they're going to come up with 3 picture words. So usually nouns or verbs, 3 words that are going to create a mental picture. Then when they get ready to write, the first word in the paragraph is going to be one of those 3 picture words. So it gives them a word to start with. And then the other 2 will be in the first paragraph somewhere. You're going to set a timer for 5 minutes, and they are going to just start writing as fast as they can. Now, remember, they're starting with one of those 3 words, and they're just going to start writing. They don't stop. They don't think. They don't correct it. They don't erase anything. They don't worry about spelling. They just go. And then at the end of the 5 minutes, then they can go back and edit for clarity and proofread. So some of you were asking about, kind of this issue with comprehension. Well, with comprehension, what we want to do is we want to take language and turn it into images to visualize. And with this strategy, we're using kind of that same technique, that visualizing to work from. So they're going to visualize the answer to their question. And from there, then they have content to write with. So let's demonstrate this with Lauren. So Lauren, let's just pretend that you are, say, a 6th grade student, okay? And your topic is back to school. Okay. So as soon as I say back to school, what pops into your mind?
Like new school supplies.
Okay. New,
I'm excited.
New, okay. Mm-hmm. So is that, are you happy about that? I mean, is that sort of an exciting thing about the beginning?
Yeah. Excited to have new things and a fresh start.
Okay. So let's take that idea and just turn it into a question. So what question could you make?
How do you feel about, heading back to school?
Okay, great. And so you can help your child. Sometimes it's hard for kids, especially if they have comprehension problems, to come up with questions. You may have to help them. So she says, how do you feel about going back to school, right? Was that what you said?
Okay, yeah.
Great. That would be a great question. It could be something like, what is exciting about going back to school? Or what are you nervous about going back to school? The topic was just back to school. And so whatever pops into their mind, let's create a question about it. So Lauren, your question was, how do you feel about going back to school? All right. I want you to picture that in your mind. Picture the answer to that question. What do you picture?
I picture like excitement, like, and kind of like the new things, like new school supplies and a new backpack and just kind of the new beginning of a year. Like okay. A fresh start.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And are you picturing those things in your mind? Are you kind of picturing heading into school with those things?
Yeah. So brand new backpack and new shiny like school supplies, excitement on my face, and even like a calendar. Now I'm kind of visualizing a calendar with like an arrow at the beginning because it's like the beginning of a school year, okay. The start of something.
And all of you watching, you can see that she's visualizing because her eyes are up. And mm-hmm. that tells you that she's, you know, her visual system is working there. Okay, so from your pictures, Lauren, I want you to come up with three words that kind of create a mental picture. So three words from your picture. And I'll give you an example. Like one of them could be school supplies. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, I know that's two words, but it's one thing. So that okay. could be one. What's another one?
Excitement.
Okay.
Yeah. Another, I mean, I would say fresh start, even though that is two words, but like, or beginning, but fresh start, I think is more of a visual image for me. So I want to use
okay.
that.
Okay. Okay. So we've got our three things. And, now, you're going to write. And for our purposes here, I'm not actually going to have her write because that would be really boring for you to watch. But you're going to write for 5 minutes without stopping as fast as you can. And you have to start with one of your three words. And then the other two have to be in your paragraph. Okay. So which word do you want to use at the start? What's going to be the one you start with?
Excitement.
Okay. So you're going to start with the word excitement, and then you're just going to write as fast as you can for 5 minutes. Don't stop for anything. Don't erase nothing. Okay. So let's pretend you're doing that. What would you say for your first sentence or two?
Okay. Excitement fills the air as I put on my new backpack and get ready for my first day of school.
Wow. That was an awesome sentence. you know, when I first tried out this technique myself, I was so surprised at what flowed out, starting with the key word and then just writing as fast as I could. I mean, I was really surprised at what mm-hmm. came out. This is a great technique for helping students to get started and to make their writing more interesting. And it does connect with comprehension because mm-hmm. having that visual image, it just gives them something to work with. And you know, backing up even further, starting with a question, it's so much easier to picture the answer to a question than just a blanket topic.
Right. Yeah, we've seen this technique work with a number of students that have struggled with writing and just even like kids with some speech and language delays. Like think about how I had to word my sentence because I was starting with a noun, which isn't typical in sentence structure. Kind of excitement filled the air instead of I was excited for school. So we've really seen it be really effective with kids that have language issues because they have to kind of restructure their language and it varies the sentence structure mm-hmm. And makes their writing so much more rich and exciting. So great technique. We had a high school student, speaking of older kids, who when he came to us couldn't write a paragraph, I mean himself truly, and really struggled. And we worked on this power write process with him every single day. He came for an intensive in the summer. And by the end of summer, he was writing like essays on his own, like timed. And when he went back to school, his writing had significantly improved and he was able to write in class essays. It was amazing the transformation that he made. And he just used to be so stuck. And so it's a great technique for helping to get those words out.
It really is. And I will tell you, I actually wrote most of my book at Wit's End with this technique.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, absolutely.
It's a good one. Thank you, Lauren, for being my student. This is LD Expert Live, and we're talking about dysgraphia. If you have a child who hates writing, then I guarantee your child also hates proofreading. It's so painful to get it down on paper in the first place, and then to have someone point out all of your mistakes is pretty defeating. So I'm sure your kids do not like to go back and correct or proofread. So I want to give you a quick strategy that makes proofreading more palatable and helps your child be more independent with it. This is something that I learned many years ago through the Strategies Intervention Model out of University of Kansas. It's called COPS. So COPS stands for capitalization, overall appearance, punctuation, and spelling. And here's how it works. The student is going to write, maybe it's a sentence, a paragraph, a paper, doesn't matter how long it is, whatever it is, every single thing they write, they should do COPS. So they're going to read whatever they wrote, sentence by sentence, and check for capitalization. And then when they've gone through it and they've fixed all their capitals, they check it off. And that feels really rewarding. I did something and I checked it off. Now they're going to look at overall appearance. So they need to look at their paper and just see, are there any words that are squished together or anything that's kind of hard to read, any places where they didn't erase completely enough so that the overall appearance of the paper looks good. And then check it off. And then punctuation, they'll go through sentence by sentence, checking for punctuation. Did I put a period at the end? You know, and whatever other punctuation they have at their age. Now spelling, and then they'll check off punctuation. Now spelling is a little bit different. They're going to start at the end. Spelling is hard to proofread because we already know what we want it to say. And so our eye tends to just gloss over it, even if it's not spelled correctly. But if you go to the end of the sentence and you go word by word from the end of the sentence, it takes the words out of context. And so our brain can look at it a little bit easier. And what we want for our kids is we always teach them, read the word slowly to check the sounds. Does it sound right? And then quickly look at it to see if it looks right. So when they're proofreading for spelling, they'll start at the end of the sentence, go word by word, checking, does it sound right? Does it look right? So we had a student who was dysgraphic. He was working on a lot of different things. And his mom called one afternoon and she was just like, truly at her wit's end. She said, every time he writes, and he was in sixth or seventh grade, so he had to do a lot of writing. Every time he writes, he makes so many mistakes. And when I sit down to go through it with him, he absolutely has a meltdown and I just can't do it anymore. So I taught her this COPS strategy and over the phone, and then she worked with him on it. The next day, she called me up and she said, oh my gosh, he wrote a paper. And when I came to help him correct it, he said, you don't need to help me. I can do COPS. So she was so excited about this that she actually made those little bookmarks that you saw on the last slide there. She made those for all of our students, those COPS bookmarks, because it was such an empowering strategy for them. Using the tools that we've talked about today will not completely overcome challenges with dysgraphia, but these are really solid, successful strategies. So I encourage you to give them a try. There are many pieces to the dysgraphia puzzle, but just as with dyslexia and other learning differences, when we identify and develop the supporting underlying neurodevelopmental and processing skills, the difficulties associated with dysgraphia can be eliminated.